The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. I'm Jen Coburn and I am so happy you could join us this evening. Now, we love it on The Parents Show when we hear of great clubs or opportunities for local Hertfordshire people. And when I heard about this new venture opening in St Albans, I was really keen to grab a chat with the founders. So I'm so pleased to welcome Nadia Finer and Izzy Kelly, founders of Queen Bee Boxing. Hi, Nadia and Izzy.
Hi.
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 Why don't you start by just telling us, in a nutshell, what Queen Bee Boxing is?
So Queen Bee Boxing is the first women's only boxing club in St Albans. And specifically, we're focusing on beginners and just introducing women to the sport. Women of all ages, backgrounds, anyone really that's ever wanted to try boxing.
Amazing. So the first female boxing club in St Albans. Is boxing that something that has always been a passion of yours then?
Well, I accidentally discovered boxing about 9 years ago when I was training with a PT, and he gave me the opportunity to hit some pads with gloves on. And it kind of changed my life because I realised that I had so much power within me that I didn't know I had. And ever since then, yeah, it's become a huge part of my life. And I train most days. I've had a few fights. Like, it's been something that's, you know, very important to me.
Wow. It really came out of the blue for you then, Nadia, with that one training session, and it changed
everything. Exactly. I think it just goes to show when you try something for the first time and you just kind of connect with it, it can become the thing that you've been looking for. You know, maybe if you're feeling a bit sort of ragey or like you've lost yourself a little bit, and then this becomes the thing that it allows you to channel all of that and really be yourself. But obviously I came to it later in life, so in my 30s, and Izzy's had a slightly different experience.
Oh, right. Izzy, tell us about how you've, you know, had boxing in your life.
So I started Muay Thai, which is Thai boxing, when I was 15, so about 4 years ago. And I absolutely just fell in love with it. The feeling of it, the friends that I've made through it, the whole, experience of it. So I started fighting and I'm a semi-pro fighter.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, sorry, I interrupted. I'm just impressed.
Thank you. And then alongside that, I started boxing as well. I kind of made friends with Nadia and she was a boxer. I started doing the boxing class and I absolutely fell in love with that as well. And they're very different sports, but obviously have a lot of overlap. Like Nadia, you kind of catch a bug for it. There's just some feeling that's so difficult to explain to someone unless you've done it and experienced it. But the post-training feels the best.
Really, the feeling once you've done it, you really is an amazing feeling.
Yeah.
And then, so this is something that came relatively recently into both your lives, but has really obviously made a big impact. And then how did you two come together and create this Queen Bee Boxing?
Well, so we became friends at the gym. Obviously, there's a big age difference between us, but we train together because we're about the same sort of size. So we were always...
What ages are you? Sorry to interrupt, but you say there's an age difference.
So if I can remember correctly, I'm 45. Sometimes I forget. I'm 45 and Izzy's...
I'm 19.
19. So we became Great. Friends because we were the same sort of height and, you know, we were training together. And so, yeah, Queen Bee Boxing came about because we were discussing the fact that boxing has so many benefits and it's helped us so much. And we felt like it could help so many people that we know, so many women that we know. And yet we knew that they wouldn't step foot in the boxing gym. Like, they were completely put off by the fact that, you know, this idea of fighting, like feeling like fighting's not for them, it's dangerous, it's scary, it's gonna hurt. But the thing with boxing is that there are so many benefits you can get from it without the fighting. Mm-hmm. So if you take the contact and the scary stuff out, you can still really get a lot from it. So we decided that, you know, why was it so many people felt too afraid to try, too intimidated? So we decided that maybe we could reshape it slightly to make it more welcoming mm-hmm. for people.
And for women, you kind of decided it was going to be a women-only venture then, because that was the demographic that you saw weren't naturally going to those classes and getting the benefits that you two had already kind of discovered for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we are probably one of four girls, women on a regular basis at our gym. And obviously we are very happy training with the guys, and like, don't get me wrong, sometimes they can be absolute pain, but in general, we're okay. You know, we're like comfortable, we're now confident, but so many, often the first question I get asked when I'm talking to people about my training, my fighting is, oh my gosh, do you like spar? You know, do you train with the boys and the guys? And I'm like, yeah. And to me, it's just, it's not really anything that I think of like, or I overthink. But to so many, you know, of my friends, it's like, kind of what, like, oh my gosh, is that, like, I wouldn't want to do that. And it's just kind of targeting that and giving women and girls a place that they can come and just focus on their training and exist in their own little world.
So you're trying to take that intimidation aspect away so that people can be free to kind of enjoy the sport and the physical aspect and benefits of it. So what is Queen Bee Boxing if we walked through the door? How have you created something for people, you know, to enjoy it?
Well, we've created a kind of a welcoming, nurturing environment where everybody's welcome, whether they're like 13 or 73, you know, they're welcome through the door. We look after people, we show them what to do, we teach people the technique in quite a specific way so that they can get the most power out of their punches, because I just feel like that's so empowering, being able to punch properly. And when women realize that they've got power within them that maybe they didn't feel they had in their daily lives, maybe they don't feel that they have a voice or they're particularly strong in general, and we show them how to unleash that, it's a brilliant thing. Mm-hmm. So when they come in the door, we're very welcoming. We show people what to do. We have clean, fresh smelling equipment. It's so important. And yeah, there's a lot of cardio involved as well. So people can go at their own pace, mm-hmm. can't yeah. they? So sometimes people worry, oh, I'm not fit enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not going to be good enough. But that's the whole point. You know, you come and mm-hmm. we teach you. So even if you are it's off a very kind of a low base, we build. So the point is, you don't have to be ready, you just have to take the first step.
Exactly.
Honestly, from a personal point of view, it sounds really exciting and appealing. Like, I am not somebody who loves the gym. Hands up, it is a stressful environment, I find, for me. I find everything confusing, I find it intimidating, and I stay away. You know, granted, I've funded many with a membership, many a gym manager's holiday, I'm sure, but I join, but I don't go. So an environment like that just really feels like something that sounds possible. And sometimes when you just need to start, you need to think, maybe that is possible that I could do that, mm-hmm. you know, slowly, slowly. And that made me laugh about you saying about how everything was clean. I mean, from when I have done boxing or any, you know, pads or anything like that, those whiffy boxing gloves, woo, that is enough to put anyone off the sport, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys must have had your fair share in all your boxing history. So that is a nice selling point as well to Queen Bee Boxing. And what's amazing, you said it's for all ages. Tell me a bit about that, because here on, you know, the Parents Show, we are family orientated. And it's wonderful if there's something that maybe mums could do with daughters, or multi-generational maybe. Tell me about that.
So recently we had an email from a lady who said, you know, I'm really interested, looking to come down with my granddaughter. And I just think that is iconic, honestly. Like, I need to get my grandma to come down because I want to box with her. I mean, I just think so we take in our classes, the youngest we kind of have is 13. If you're with your parents, so absolutely mums and daughters could come down, do some training together, or I mean, apart if they are
apart.
Sometimes we do have to split mums and daughters up, can't lie. And we are hoping to launch some kind of summer camp, summer school-esque kind of stuff over the holidays, which will potentially be for some younger girls. I mean, I love the idea of like mini boxing, tiny boxing for really, really little ones. So that's in the works at the moment. But yeah, from 13 plus in the classes with an adult and from 16 plus if you're on your own.
And you've just reminded me of another iconic moment when my mum came to training. And so she's in her late 60s and she brought her friend. It was so cool.
It was brilliant.
And then we do this thing called the rage round where we do like 2 or 3 minutes where you can just go ham on the bag basically and go crazy and let it all out. And we love doing that because it's just this opportunity for people to kind of let rip and just unleash all their frustrations and irritations. And gosh, people have a lot.
People really have a lot, honestly.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I mean, we hold a lot, especially, you know, in this day and age, we are holding stuff that I don't think some of us realise we're holding some stresses. And to have that opportunity to go, let it out. Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be amazing. And you said about pads, and before you said about taking the contact and fighting aspect out of that. So just clarify that for me. In your club, is there, you know, a big boxing ring and it's fights, or is it a different approach?
So yeah, we do, it's no contact, and we tend to get the women to hit the bag as opposed to hold pads for each other. So when we train, we typically are partnered up and we hold pads for each other. We do 5 or so rounds each and then switch over. But that's so reliant on having a good pad partner to train with. And I only have a few people that I ever do pads with because I know I'll get a good session. So we wanted to take that whole stress out. And we're very lucky that we, at the moment, we're based at our gym that we train out of. And it's a fully equipped boxing gym. So we have 14 or 15 punch bags that the women go on. And they can focus. They're in their own world. They can look at the wall. They can be, you know, facing away from everyone if they want. And just we show them the combo that we want to do. And then they have 3 minutes to go and do that. And we're kind of going around making any corrections. And that's kind of the bulk of the class.
And then we also have the ring and other kind of tools like noodles and things. So we can teach people that the science of boxing, mm-hmm. how to defend themselves, but no one's getting hurt. No one's facing off against anybody else. You know, there's no violence. And I think it's so important. You know, we're talking to women as well from a local refuge. And so there's an element of self-defense to this, but we don't want it to be like a confronting experience mm-hmm. for people. It's more about empowerment and feeling strong within yourself. You know, it will impact how you carry yourself on a daily basis, how you feel about yourself. But we're not really, you know, teaching people how to take somebody out.
But just so people can hold their head a bit higher and kind of, you know, walk with their shoulders back. Everyone laughs at me because apparently I have a really strutty walk, and I think it's because I'm used to walking around the gym all kind of feeling all confident.
And it's different because Izzy's, you know, you're walking like an athlete and sort of strutting around, and I'm a more shy person. I'm a, you know, quieter sort of person. So this has helped me so much to, like, on my, you know, journey, if you like, to becoming more confident within myself. So the fact that I can now stand up in front of 20 people and teach a class and show people how to do that too is an amazing thing.
I'm loving everything about this. And there are so many messages that you're getting across, but do you have like a mission statement for your club then? Kind of, would you say there is a mission for Queen Bee Boxing? Because it sounds to me like it is a lot about female empowerment and strength physically and mentally.
Yeah, for us, it's about unleashing your power. So
love it.
It covers so many things.
It covers like mental sort of feeling strong in yourself. Maybe you'll feel more confident to have a difficult conversation or stand up to somebody or, you know, be strong at work, or feeling physically powerful, like literally in your punches, but also in the way you carry yourself.
It encapsulates so much in terms of how you feel mentally, the strength, but also what about physically? Because also time is sparse for lots of people. And also we do want to kind of see physical results, maybe if we are working out. What is boxing? And if they came to Queen Bee Boxing, can you expect to see benefits physically?
Absolutely. I mean, boxing is a full body workout. You get obviously the cardio just from doing the rounds. Your legs are working because you're always kind of in a, not a lunge position. It's hard to explain, obviously, just over the mic, but your legs are working all the time. You're rolling, you're slipping, and then obviously your shoulders, your back, your core. You're using your whole body if you're doing it correctly, which is what we're really, really, really trying to drill into people. Use correct technique. We don't just want to be like a boxer size, you know, where you're just using your arms. It's your full body and your, we kind of explain the mechanics of it. So your shoulders are rotating, your core is rotating. So obviously there's many things that come into having physical body changes, you know, your diet, your lifestyle, etc. But if you're doing all of those correctly and adding in boxing into the mix, then you're really onto something.
Really?
It's been incredible for me personally. When I first started, I was not in shape at all. So obviously this was a long time ago, but my initial few years of training, I made a big transformation physically. So I was like 3 stone probably, overweight. I wasn't feeling good about myself at all. And I, you know, so I lost loads of weight and got some gains, got some muscles. And yeah, no, it does really, it's like, as you said, there's a lot of science behind it, but you know, it's a burner. You'll kind of burn a lot of calories as well as building up some strength in good places. So bingo wings will be a thing of the past.
Oh, these are the words I have dreamt of hearing my entire life. I can't believe it. It is available in St. Albans, ladies.
Absolutely.
Bingo wings are gone.
Banished.
Banished the bingo wings. But obviously, all body shapes are wonderful.
That's true.
But if you want to get rid of them, here's your place.
It
is your place. Is there a big benefit in it being female only? What are you experiencing in your clients who come, you know, and how they feel about not having men in their environment whilst they're learning to box like this?
I think it's a mixed one, because don't get me wrong, I, you know, I've made some absolutely amazing friends with guys at our gym that I've trained at. So it's not a thing of, you know, we're anti-men or anything like that. It's, I think, a feeling more comfortable, and because obviously men are stronger than women, like it's scientific. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, I'm not stronger than a lot of the guys, as much as I would love to be. But it's a place that you're evenly matched, if that makes sense. Like there's just a physical, I mean, a lot of women, I think I do as well, like feel there's a physical kind of presence of a guy that can be intimidating and overwhelming, especially in a boxing gym. And I think something close to me is, you know, women that have been through maybe an attack or anything like that want to come and learn some self-defense, and they want to feel comfortable just in a women's only environment. And I think, you know, it's nothing against men or anything like that. It's just a more comfortable thing. I don't know how to put it into words. Now, do you?
You definitely put it into good words. I think for me, it's about community as well. Mm-hmm. So we've created this really welcoming environment where people feel like they can step through the door to start with, and there's a bit of chatting. Mm-hmm. And that the other thing I really like is that nobody feels pressure to dress a certain way or look a certain way. Like, We can be scruffy. It's all good. We just turn up, do our training, and it doesn't matter what we look like and how bedraggled we are at the end. It's fine.
Exactly.
And we'll just go about our business. So it just, I think we're really proud of that we've created this kind of a vibe.
Yeah,
community vibe, like a really friendly place. And I think for this particular thing, having women only works really well. And then, you know, once you've got some skills, and if you wanted to fight or you wanted to go to a more, you know, a mixed gym, then maybe we would pave the way for you to go and do that. But in this moment, you know, my mum, for example, in her 60s, is not going to turn up to a mixed boxing gym and start holding pads for some 6'3" guy. Because he would punch her arms off. She's only 4'11". So it's like, you know, we're kind of making it safe and welcoming. And we love the fact that people feel comfortable chit-chatting and getting all sweaty and, you know, bedraggled and messy. And it's good.
I love it. It's just taking that extra layer of self-imposed pressure maybe off, that we have to look all right or work on an outfit to go. All these can be barriers, can't they, when you're trying to start something new? And so just by removing an extra barrier.
Yeah.
And have you had good feedback so far? What are the community of St Albans saying about Queen Bee Boxing?
Well, firstly, what we really love is this idea that people are going about their business, you know, looking after their kids or going to work. And on the surface, like, they're just living their lives. And then underground, like, this sort of secret life they've got where they just become their true selves. Mm-hmm. That's what we're hearing, is that people, they can be themselves. They can have emotions and anger and frustration, and they can express those things, and that's okay. We don't have to just be so tightly zipped up all the time. We're hearing from people that they feel stronger, they feel calmer, they, you know, because they're letting it all out, they feel calmer, they feel like they're making progress and learning a new skill, which is also really fun. It's fun to be kind of a beginner at something and to see improvements. And I think people are just rebooking.
I was about to say, the thing for me was I taught a class yesterday morning, and within like a couple of hours, everyone had rebooked for the following week. And to me, that's the best compliment I can get. It was also at 7 a.m. in the morning, so I was not on my best form. And the fact that everybody, you know, rebooked, and we had an amazing, amazing class, had a few people that had never done it before, and all of them have rebooked. And, you know, I spoke to them before and after the class, and just even their body language, they were so much more relaxed. And, you know, they came and they're like, I'm so nervous, I've never done anything like this before. And I said, I guarantee by the end of this session, you'll feel like a different person. And I went up to one of the ladies at the end and I said, was I right? And she was like, you absolutely were. So, I mean, for me, that just fills me. I get goosebumps talking about it, because I feel so kind of proud of what we're achieving and, you know, doing it. You know, I'm doing it with my best friends. It's the best thing ever.
And the thing I also hear, which I love, is that people say, I just need it. I need this now. I need it to get through the week. I need it to, you know, I need to come every few days. And that's how I feel personally, that, you know, if I haven't trained, I feel a bit like, you know, antsy, a bit grumpy. And this just keeps me, particularly maybe with some like menopausal issues. Like, this is such a good kind of, I mean, you should almost be prescribed it alongside HRT, I think, because it just keeps you kind of level and calm.
That is interesting. I mean, yeah, I'm staring down that barrel myself, and anything that can help you maybe balance out when the body starts going into, you know, this kind of strange new era is wonderful. Look, if someone is listening to this now and thinking, sounds good, oh, I just don't have the confidence, it's not for me, what are you going to say to them?
Do it. Just do it. I mean, I will sit here and like till I'm blue in the face and tell you like what it's done for me and how it's changed my life. But I just think until you've done it, you don't understand.
But I think the thing is, like, if you're scared, you know, I heard people maybe going on a recce and driving past the day before, you know, just to feel like they knew where to go. People say to us, like, we are adorable. We're so, like, unassuming, and we will look after you, whether you're 13 or in your 70s, it will be okay. No one's going to hurt you. It's just a gym at the end of the day with some punch bags in
it. No one's judging.
No, and we'll just take you at the level that you're at. So, you know, it doesn't matter what, well, you need to wear something a bit sporty. Don't wear jeans, but, like, it doesn't matter what you're wearing. It doesn't matter how fit you are. If you can just take the first step through the threshold, you know, just even get near, because we'll be peering out the door. So we'll like be sort of, we're like, come on, come on, you're all right, you can come in. And once people are in, they don't really look back. So I think if you've got that little like urge within you that maybe this could be the thing, this could be the thing that changes your life, the thing that helps you get through the week, the thing that's really fun for you, or the thing that kind of transforms you physically and mentally. If you've got that little like feeling, then take that first brave step and we'll sort you out once you're in the gym. You'll be okay.
I love it. I actually would love myself to come down after this conversation. I think I'm going to have a look on your website and figure out when I could come down. Can you tell people like me and everybody else listening then, where are you and how do people find you?
So we are on Instagram and Facebook at Queen Bee Boxing, as in B-B-E-E. And then our website, again, if you just search Queen Bee Boxing St Albans or just Queen Bee Boxing, will come up and then it will take you to our website with all the information, where we are, you know, a bit about us and the link, the, you know, booking page to book into classes. And you can book on from Instagram and Facebook as well. There's also our emails and I think, I can't remember whose number, one of our numbers, if you want to drop us a message.
Is it something that you have to join for a long membership and sign your life away?
No. We have a couple of options. We will be introducing some more, but at the moment we have two options. Either you can book on for a single class or you can buy a package of five classes to use within 2 months. So there's no, you know, you're not signing up to a kind of 6 months contract plus, you know, a cancellation fee. It's just you can book in, you come to a class, you can then, you know, buy a package or just keep booking on for whenever works for you.
I'm genuinely excited. And you're in St Albans, is that right?
We're in St Albans. We train out of Combat Gym, which is near DJ's Jungle, which I'm sure most people know. So we're around there.
Our listeners will know that because we are the parents show. I am at that soft play a lot.
Yeah, so if your kid, maybe get someone to supervise the kids at DJ's Jungle, but, you know, DJ's Jungle round the back. We're there and so you need to book on first so we know who's coming and we can like ask you questions just to make sure you're healthy or we can find out what's up so we can tailor the class. But yeah, go to queenbeeboxing.com and you can book in there, and like Izzy said, just book one session and then see if you like it, and then hopefully it'll change your life as well.
Fantastic. Well, expect to see my name ping up in that inbox of yours, and it would be wonderful if anybody who's listening to this who then went along, tell the girls you heard it here on the parent show. It's always lovely to know how word gets out, isn't
Absolutely.
It for you? But girls, thank you so much. I think what you're doing is brilliant, and I just wish you every success with your endeavor.
Thank you
for joining us this evening, and see you at the gym.
Yeah.
See you soon.
See you there. See you there. Bye, girls.
Bye.
So we're going to take a little break on the Parents Show on Mix 92.6. We'll be back with more chat in just a few minutes. So stay tuned.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
So welcome back to the Parents Show on Mix 92.6. It's great to have you with us again. I'm Lydia El-Khoury, and I'm delighted to be joined by Lena Gardner, who is a legal director at Raiden's Solicitors here in St. Albans. And today we're touching on a really important topic, which is the impact of conflict and divorce on children. I think it's something we're all interested in, certainly on the Parent Show, and I'm sure you, our listeners, are too. Lena, thanks a million for joining us on the Parents Show.
Thanks, Lydia. Really good to be here.
And thanks for coming back to talk to us about divorce. We spoke to you recently about high conflict divorce, and this is really interesting to talk about the impact of conflict and divorce on children. So tell us, what are the main thoughts and feelings going on for children in divorce?
So there's quite a lot of research in this area because, as you say, it is such an important issue and a really important topic. And the main themes that come out of that are, first and foremost, children are likely to have an overwhelming feeling of grief and sadness when their parents are separating or going through a divorce. It's such a big change to the world that they have known their whole life. And with that feeling of change comes a real sense of loss. So that's the first important point to make. That can manifest in different ways, and we can talk about that as we go on. But often that can look like a lot of anger in children because they're going through that grieving process. Another thing it's likely that children are going to be feeling in this situation is fear and anxiety. A lot of uncertainty comes with parental separation and divorce, and they're going to try and fill in all the gaps in their mind, and that's going to often make children feel really worried and anxious about the situation. Some children may feel guilt. There may be a feeling that they're in some way to blame for the fact that their parents are separating, and that's something that we often can see. Powerlessness is another one, because children can often feel like they've got very little control over the situation and that they don't have much of a say in what's going to happen. Children can feel divided loyalties when their parents are separating, and we can talk about that in more detail because that's a really important one as well. And then finally, feelings of rejection and isolation are often quite common as well. And that can be because when their parents are going through a divorce, the parents are dealing with their own emotions and their own stress. And sometimes that can be that they're not as emotionally available for the kids as they otherwise would be. So lots of really difficult feelings for children to be going through.
Thanks for outlining them all, because you're right. And it's great for parents to be aware that it's quite normal for children to have those feelings, and understandable, and almost to be prepared then for what will be a normal reaction to divorce.
Absolutely. I think it's really normal and really common for kids to have those feelings. And one of the things that we can touch on today is the protective factors that parents can put in place to give their children as much support as possible and to help them with those big feelings.
Brilliant. So let's start off with children under four. What are the vulnerabilities of children under four when it comes to divorce, and how can this manifest itself in their behaviour?
So really little children, and we're talking babies up to kind of reception school age children, so around the age of four, will be really vulnerable to feeling scared and worried and anxious. And they may have thoughts and feelings that to an adult seem quite irrational, but to the child, they're very logical and normal. So, for example, they might be really worried that one of their parents is going to leave and not come back, and they're not going to see them again. They are very vulnerable at that age to stress and tension in the environment around them. So they're like little sponges, aren't they, at that age? So they're going to pick up on the stress and the tension. And the way that that manifests itself in young children can often be disruption to their sleeping patterns, disruption to their eating habits, so maybe going off their food, and also things such as separation anxiety, so becoming more clingy than they otherwise would be, and also behavioural regressions, so perhaps their speech regressing back a bit, or even things like toilet training, potty training could potentially regress due to the pressure that they're under at that time.
They're quite significant impacts on the children, and again, just really good to be aware of it. So let's move on to the next age group, if you like, primary school children. How would that manifest itself?
Yeah, so younger primary school age children, say age 5 to 8, they will have a lot of the vulnerabilities that the younger children have, but they will also be more vulnerable to the feelings of grief and sadness that I mentioned at the beginning. They will be really worried about the loss of family stability and the loss of their family unit. And that can often manifest in, you know, tearful times, maybe being a bit irritable. Again, regressions in behaviour such as eating or speech. Sometimes things like tummy aches and eczema might flare up, so they're things to look out for as well. And something that we call magical thinking. So children of that age will often really want their parents to get back together, and that will really be at the forefront of their mind often, with kind of that magical thinking of, oh, they'll get back together.
Thanks so much for sharing those with us, Lena. And now to teenagers, of course, because I'd imagine that's going to be a trickier category given the probably onset of puberty and the impact that has on teenagers, as well as potentially the impact of conflict and divorce.
Absolutely. So I'd say for the tweens, you know, aged 9 to 12, that's when you're likely to see anger coming through, because that's an expression of the grief and the sadness that they're feeling. And again, quite a lot of worry and anxiety sometimes. And then as kids move into the teenage years, you can start to see things like more risky behaviours. So obviously teenagers, they're pushing the boundaries anyway at that age. And when you add into the mix divorce and separation, you may see some more risk-taking behaviours and pushing the boundaries even harder. So they're the kind of things that we would expect to see, along with mood swings and that kind of thing.
And Lena, can I ask you, I mean, it must be relatively normal or commonplace for a parent to want their child to kind of prefer them over the parent that they're divorcing. Does that really have an impact on children? Is it something to watch out for and to resist the temptation to kind of pull your child closer to you rather than the other parent?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that we see a lot, and it can be very damaging for children to feel like they have to take a side with one parent over another. That can place a child in a position of real conflict, and that can lead to a lot of feelings of guilt and divided loyalties. Children can often feel quite torn if they feel like they have to pick a side, and children are really easily influenced. So we do see children being influenced by one parent to feel that one parent is good and one parent is bad, and that can be quite damaging for children. Actually, what is better for the child is to feel like it's okay for them to love both their parents and to not have to pick a side. So providing children with reassurance that they don't have to take a side is really important. And whilst it's very, very difficult when you're going through a divorce or you're going through an acrimonious separation to speak positively of the other parent, that is really important as well, if possible, so that children feel like both of their parents love them equally.
And that they can love both parents equally, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So it is a really important point, and avoiding blaming the other parent is critical.
That's great. Thank you so much for emphasising that. Really valuable. Thanks, Lena. So now, if we're talking about children's main needs during divorce or stressful changes like divorce, can you tell us what they are?
Absolutely. So one of the really key things that comes out in all of the research in this area is the need for children to have consistency and predictability as far as possible during this time. So what that essentially means is holding firm with boundaries, as the parent would in any event, and giving the child as consistent a routine as possible to make sure that on a day-to-day level, they've got a structure and they've got a routine in place. So that's really important. Love and connection is obviously hugely important during this time, because as I've mentioned, there can be a lot of these feelings of anxiety and worry. So if parents can provide that love and that connection with their child during that time, that's a really, really important factor to take into consideration. It's also really key for parents to try and accept the feelings that their children are having rather than brushing them under the carpet or dismissing them. So acceptance of all feelings, good and bad, is really important. And then finally, it's really good if parents can have a consistent and cohesive story or narrative that they can give to their children during this period. So that is really important, especially for younger children, to make sure that they understand what's going on and that both parents are sending the same message to the children to provide them with that coherent narrative about what's happening in their life.
That makes a lot of sense. They need to have a story, I suppose, that they can relate to and that they can help them understand what's going on.
Exactly. And, you know, that can be easier said than done sometimes, because to a large extent, it's going to depend on the age of the children. And obviously, in many families, they may have a big age range with their kids. And actually, the younger children are going to have very different needs to older children. So it's trying to make sure that all of the messages that the children are getting are age appropriate.
And I found it fascinating what you said about routine and structure. I mean, it makes sense when you say it, but I suppose it must be so tempting as a parent, you know, if you are going through a divorce, just to let all the rules go out the window because you don't want to be cracking down on your children at a time when they're vulnerable. But that's such great advice, to actually stick with the routines, keep it nice and boring, even like just yes. No big surprises.
Absolutely right. It's more important than ever to provide children with that consistency and those boundaries.
Brilliant advice. And what do you think affects children most as they go through parental separation?
So this is a really interesting question. And I think that a lot of parents worry that their children are going to suffer emotional harm as a result of a divorce or separation. That is not necessarily the case. What we now know is that it's a prolonged exposure to conflict and the knock-on effect of that conflict to the quality of parenting that has the impact. So it's not necessarily the divorce and the separation in itself that causes children long-term harm. It's exposure to conflict.
Very, very good to know that, and great to bear in mind for parents, because again, it's not necessarily what you would assume is the case. So thank you, Lena. So if we're talking about the impact of conflict on children, how is that likely to play out?
So number of ways, some of which we've already touched on in terms of regressions to earlier behaviours, physical symptoms like tummy aches or eczema flare-ups and that kind of thing. But in addition to that, you can see higher levels of anger and aggression. Sometimes children can suffer with symptoms of depression and anxiety. With the older children, as I said, that can sometimes manifest in risk-taking behaviours that they wouldn't necessarily otherwise be engaging in. There can be a knock-on impact on children's self-confidence. And a point that I found really interesting when I've been, you know, researching this topic in more detail is the fight or flight mode situation. So if a child is exposed to a prolonged level of conflict, their brain is likely to be going into fight or flight mode a lot of the time. And what the implications of that are, it can actually impact on a child's ability to learn, and it can impact on a child's ability to regulate their emotions. So these are the types of impacts that we see. But as we'll come on to, there are lots of ways that parents can mitigate against these impacts and make the divorce as less stressful as possible for the kids.
And that's my next question, actually, is does divorce harm children?
So the research now tends to show that it isn't the divorce itself that harms children. Of course, divorce is going to be a really sad time for everybody, and children are going to have the thoughts and feelings that we've talked about, like the grief, the sadness, the fear, the anxiety. But those things can actually be relatively short term and relatively short lived if parents can reduce the children's exposure to any conflict and tension. So it's the conflict and the tension that seems to be the thing that has the long-term big impact on children.
Great, great to know and to focus parents' attention. And in that process, so what are the vulnerable moments for children in the divorce process?
Yeah, that's a really good question. As you know, as we all know, divorce can take a really long time in some cases. It's usually months, in some cases it can be years. Obviously that's a worst case scenario, but we're talking about a fairly significant period of time in a child's life. And over that period of time, there are going to be certain moments when children are more vulnerable. So these can include things like when the parents first tell the children that they are separating or divorcing, when the children are told that one parent is going to be moving out of the family home, when the child arrangements are being determined, when one of their parents meets a new partner, when the finances are being dealt with by their parents and decisions are being taken as to what's going to happen with, you know, the house and the money and all of that side of things. If one parent decides to move away, that's going to be another moment of vulnerability for children. And then, of course, looking further to the future, if one or both parents remarry and there are, you know, stepbrothers and stepsisters that come into play, that's also going to be a moment when children are going to be feeling most vulnerable.
But what you've outlined there, Lena, is so helpful, because we can't convince ourselves that divorce is always going to be a positive, easy process. We're not out to do that. We're out to understand the process, get an overview and understand what's going to happen and when. And by outlining it the way you've just done, I think it's so valuable and so helpful to parents to be forearmed and forewarned, so that they're equipped with tools to deal with the fallout, I suppose, of divorce, maybe even before it happens.
Yeah, absolutely. There are lots of things that parents can do to minimise the impact of the divorce on their children. And that's really positive because, as I said, a lot of children whose parents go through a divorce or separation won't suffer long-term trauma or long-term scars, provided that their parents are able to provide them with support and consistency during that time, and provided that they're not exposed to a high level of conflict for a prolonged period of time.
Excellent.
So the kind of things that parents can think about at this time include having what we would call a responsive parenting style. So that's being emotionally available for the kids, being in tune with the children's emotions and the children's emotional needs at that time, and providing them with responsive parenting. What is really important, and unfortunately it's sadly not possible with every family, but wherever possible, parents should be trying to cooperate with one another when it comes to co-parenting the kids. That's really important because, again, that helps provide children with consistency and structure and a supportive environment, so that they're getting the same messages from both parents and they're seeing that their parents are trying their best to work together for their sake. Another thing would be making sure that the children have really positive attachments to, for example, other adults in their lives, so wider family members, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends at school, and of course teachers at school is really important as well. And there are loads of resources out there for parents to, you know, to help make sure that they're putting these kind of things in place for their children, and we can touch on those in more detail.
Brilliant, thanks so much, Lena. I mean, those protective factors that you've outlined there, again, give such support to parents to think through how divorce is going to impact their children from their perspective, and to help put them in their shoes. Because, of course, while this is all going on, the parents are wrestling with a very difficult issue themselves. So having to think through exactly how to manage your children's emotions and the impact on your children is tricky. So that's incredibly helpful.
Absolutely. And what's really important for, I think, for parents to bear in mind during this time is that all behaviour is communication. So all behaviour that they're seeing in their children is a way of the children communicating how they're feeling. And that ties into the point about responsive parenting and being really alive to the way that their children are behaving and bearing in mind that children will be acting out how they're feeling inside.
And so you mentioned resources. We love a good resource list on the Parents Show. So I'd love to know where you would signpost our parents in case they want to read up on what you've said, because what you've said has been fantastic. But if they want to have some supplementary information, that'd be great.
Absolutely. So there's some amazing resources out there, and a lot of them are free resources, which is always good. So I was having a look on the Hertfordshire Council website, and there's some really good resources on there. There's a whole list of parenting courses that parents can sign up to that are specifically aimed at parents that are going through divorce and separation. So some of those were run through the Hertfordshire Family Centre service, which is an amazing service, and the majority of what they offer is free of charge. There's another organisation called Family Lives, and again, there's some links there to the parenting courses run by that organisation. There's also an organisation called Resolution, which is National Association of Family Lawyers, of which I'm a member. We all sign up to a code of conduct to try and deal with our cases in a non-confrontational way without going to court wherever possible. And the Resolution website has some amazing resources on it for parents. Again, free information and lots of links. There's a really good book called 101 Questions Answered About Separating with Children. And that can be purchased online. I don't know the cost off the top of my head, but it's not too expensive. And it's an incredible book, 101 questions answered, everything that you could possibly think of. So that's an amazing book. Other organisations to think about are the British Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy, and they have a really good website. The UK Council for Psychotherapy, and also the Institute of Family Therapy. So loads of resources out there, lots and lots of books available to purchase as well to do with high conflict parenting after separation. There's lots of co-parenting books available, and then books also that are aimed at children to explain divorce and separation to children.
Brilliant. Thanks, Lena. And actually, I mean, the advice you've given us in this interview is so valuable for those parents who are a bit time poor. I'm sure this will tick a load of the boxes for them. So, and you know, it struck me when you were talking about it, you were signposting psychotherapy books. As a family lawyer, you almost have to be a kind of so aware of the psychological impact of the work. It's almost like two jobs in one.
Yeah, it really is. I think it's such an important part of the job is to be able to recognise what that particular family is going through and to be able to provide some reassurance, but also signposting our clients to support services and ways in which they can help their children as best as possible through that time. So yeah, we do have to have different hats on as family lawyers.
Yeah, that's really evident from hearing how in-depth you've gone into how it impacts on children. And now we always like to end on a positive note. And so I'd love to get your thoughts or advice, any positive suggestions or ideas to finish up our chat today.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot less stigma around divorce nowadays, divorce and separation. And it is, you know, pretty common. It's nearly one in two marriages now end in a divorce. So there's a lot less stigma around it. And I think what that means is that people can talk about it more openly and children can talk about it more openly as well. And that's a really positive thing. Often when parents separate, there can almost be a sense of relief, not only for them, but also for the children. Because if it's been an unhappy relationship, that's not good for anybody either. So there can be that sense of relief and that change, which can be an opportunity for new possibilities for everybody in the family. Children are really resilient and they can cope really well. And if parents can be alive to the thoughts and feelings that children have at this time, and if parents can be there for their children, provide them with support, try and co-parent as harmoniously as the circumstances allow, then most children will be able to move through this really hard time and learn to accept it and actually look forward to the future rather than looking back at the past. So we can definitely end on a positive note in that way, I think.
Lena, thank you so much for your wise words, your valuable advice, and for joining us on The Parents Show.
Thank you, Lydia.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6, sponsored by Raiden Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.